The first Sunday after Easter, Low Sunday, the epistle is taken from the first letter of John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world, if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ. Not in the water only, but in the water and the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three things that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, when it was late, that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. And the disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, and the doors being closed, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger and see my hands, and bring here thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In the 1930s, our Lord appeared to Saint Faustina and asked that this day, this Sunday, be called Divine Mercy Sunday. He did this, remember, while this Mass was celebrated in the Western Church, this very Mass, the extraordinary form, the Old Rite. And it is no coincidence that these readings are tied directly to the Divine Mercy. If you recall, our Lord also asked Sister Faustina to have an image made, to have an image painted of him, as he appeared to her, the image of the Divine Mercy, where the two rays of light, the white and the red, comes forth from his heart. These, of course, represent the water and the blood which poured forth from his heart at the crucifixion, where the soldier Longinus pierced his side and the lance went up and pierced his heart. And when he removed it, the water and blood came out. Now, of course, the water and the blood represent the sacraments. In particular, the water, of course, baptism, by which we are all saved. Remember, it is by baptism that we are, the original sin of our first parents is undone. It is their sin, that loss of grace that occurred because of that we inherited, is then undone with baptism. The waters of baptism. And then the red is his blood. This is, of course, represents the Eucharist and all the other sacraments that are applied to our particular sins. The sacrament of confession, extreme unction, and the other sacraments that help us to live a holy life. And these sacraments are given to us out of mercy. They come forth from the heart of our Lord out of mercy for us. It is important to remember what mercy is. Mercy is contrasted with justice. Justice and mercy. What is justice? Justice is when someone receives what is due to them, what is properly they should receive. Now, this can be both a good and a bad thing. The criminal, in justice, has to face a punishment. The judge would say, because of your crimes, I sentence you to whatever punishment. But it is injustice. But it can also be a good thing. That is, when we work, we earn a recompense, a payment, injustice. Injustice, our employer has to pay us. Or other types of things that we can earn injustice. So justice is not particularly bad. It can be either good or bad. But the important thing to remember is justice is what is due to the person, what is due to him, really based upon his actions. Now that is contrasted with mercy. So what is mercy? Based upon the definition of St. Thomas Aquinas, we can talk about mercy. We can look at mercy as giving someone what is more due to them, or giving someone something better than what they are due. And so we can think about, again, to go to the legal system, someone can then plead for mercy to the judge for some kind of extenuating circumstance. I know I deserve this, but I rightly deserve this punishment, but, and plead for mercy. And the judge may give them mercy. The parole board may give them mercy. Remember, parole is not a right, but it is a mercy. In the same way, when we are employed, we can receive mercy, in a sense, a bonus at Christmas or any other type of bonus. It's not something due to us. It's out of the generosity of the employer. Or maybe a promotion or a raise because someone is now married and has a child and a family. You may not specifically deserve it, but the employer, out of generosity, gives that bonus or raise. These are mercies. We think about, like, a child, a teenage child or something. The father says, you know, if you clean your room, I'll give you $20. The child cleans his room. It's probably not worth $20, but out of mercy, he gives him more than what he deserves. And so this is mercy. And so our Lord is merciful to us. The sacraments are not ours by right. They are gifts from him. Graces are gifts from him. They are his mercy towards us. Sometimes we forget about this, that the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, confession, and the other sacraments are gifts from Christ. He says, freely I have given you. And then he instructs the apostles, freely then you are to give. These are gifts to us. Now, he then goes on to instruct Saint Faustina, and also in the scriptures, even though it's a private revelation, it is in no way contradictory to the scriptures, but it is in fully accordance with them. He says, I want you to be merciful. You are to be merciful in imitation of me. And we see this in the scriptures where the parable of the servant who owes the king a tremendous amount of money, it's not our readings for today, who owes the king a tremendous amount of money, asks for his mercy, and he receives it. The king forgives his debt, remember? And then he goes out and sees a servant that owes him some money, and he throttles him and says, give me what you owe me. And the servant then asks him for mercy, and he will hear nothing of it and throws him in prison. And then, of course, when the king finds out about this, he sends that original servant back to prison. Why? Because the king says, I had mercy on you. I expect you to have mercy on others. And so it is for us. We are to have mercy. You know, the word mercy in English doesn't really show what that concept is really about. But in Latin, the word is misericordia. And that's a compound Latin word. First, miser means sorrowful or wretched. It's where we get the word misery or a miser. It means wretched or sorrow. And then cordia means heart. We get the word like cardiology from that, the study of the heart. So mercy literally means sorrowful heart. It's where the person sees another person, and because of their state, they have a sorrowful heart. Their heart pains them to see another person in that suffering. And so our Lord, his sacred heart, is merciful. He sees us in our situation, in our place, and he has mercy on us by giving us an overabundance of graces. And so he asks us, though, to imitate him, that our heart is to be like his. Our heart is to be a heart of mercy. When we see other people, we are to be merciful towards them. When we interact with them, we are to be merciful towards them. How are we merciful? We are merciful in words. Maybe we speak to them, or we judge them, or when we speak about them, we always try to hold them in the best light, not trying to tear them down or to give them bad motivation, judge them and say that, you know, they're doing these things out of bad causes or reasons. But we try to always give them the benefit of the doubt. This is a form of mercy. We can also be merciful indeed. That is, we do acts of mercy. It can be something as simple as giving a dollar to the person standing on the exit ramp of the highway, that you're hoping the light will turn green before he walks up to your car. But it could just be a simple mercy to give him a little bit. But Father, why doesn't he get a job? He doesn't really deserve it. That's right. They don't deserve it. That's what mercy is about, though. You give freely. God has given you that, and then you give freely. That's a minor thing. There are other types of deeds we can do out of mercy. We can give our time also out of mercy. And then, of course, we can have mercy through prayer. And that is pray for other people. People who maybe don't deserve it. People who have harmed us or hurt us. To pray for our enemies. This is a form of mercy also. Now, Our Lady, I've said this before, Our Lady at Fatima says many souls go to hell because there's nobody to pray for them. Many souls. There are many people who will die today, this moment, and there is nobody to pray for them. And just a little prayer for them could earn the grace for them, so that they could see their life in the final moments and have a change of heart. That is mercy. Christ wants us to be merciful. He won the infinite number of graces on the cross, and he wants to distribute them. They are graces given in mercy, and he wants us to participate in that. He wants us to distribute them with him through our prayers, through our actions, and through our deeds. We must be an imitator of Christ. Our hearts must be like his. Christ is merciful. And so we also must be merciful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.